the transition to summer, children's message, it takes a little getting used to. Although it's not like when somebody changes seats, right? Brothers and sisters, our first scripture lesson comes from 1 Kings 19:15-16, and then continuing on at 19-21. And that will be on your Pew Bible page number 291. Hear now the word of the Lord. Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you will anoint Hazael as king of Aram. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, as prophet in your place." So he set out from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, who was plowing. There were 12 yoke of oxen ahead of him, and he was with the 12th. Elisha passed by him and threw his mantle over him. He left the oxen and ran after Elisha and said, "Let me kiss my mother and my father, and then I will follow you." Then Elisha said to him, Go back again, for what have I done to you?" He returned from following him, took the yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. Using the equipment from the oxen, he boiled their flesh and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out and followed Elijah and became his servant. Our New Testament lesson today comes from the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 9, verses 51-62, on Pew Bible page 838. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to Jerusalem, and he sent his messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set towards Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we come on this day and we listen. We listen in the sound of silence, in the sounds of the noises of our lives. We try and listen to what you are saying to us in your word, to how you are leading, guiding, and keeping us. Be with us this day, Lord. And bless this word as we listen to how you are leading, how you are showing us our path. Not just today, but the days and weeks and months and years to come. May you lead us and guide us, O Lord. Amen. Every time we pick up where we left off in Scripture, there's this voice in my head that picks up, "Last time on," from the old TV shows, or for my own context, the old G.I. Joe TV show where it's "Previously on G.I. Joe." There's almost this wanting to catch up where we were. And so we need to remember where we were before this. We have a burned out prophet, one who is at the end of his rope, and then God gives him this list of things to do, things to check off, steps along the path as he ends his ministry. Now, we can ponder and wonder if it's the fact that he now has an end game in sight that can keep him going. We don't know if it's the fact that he now knows what he has to do next that helps him to take the next step and the next step and the next. But we see this prophet who is given this measure of relief so that he can go on another day, another moment. He's to anoint two kings and one prophet. Not a long list and yet a very difficult list, since one king is going to take power over and under another king. And we saw how such a succession plays out with King David and King Saul, haven't we? Doesn't always go well. The fact is, he is also going to anoint his own replacement. He is going to show the ropes, so to speak, to the next prophet. It's not a fun thing to anoint your successor when you know the pain, the sadness, and the difficulty. Anytime you're dealing with calls, you're dealing with something that's a little difficult to understand and navigate. And seldom is a call in the Bible accepted willingly. You think of all the times that someone always has an answer for God. You look at Moses. God calls him from out of the burning bush. And what is the response of Moses? I'm a terrible public speaker. You can't call me. And yet God does. And God doesn't let him wiggle off the hook, so to speak. Sure, Moses could have gone on and on and on with his laundry list of reasons he couldn't follow his call. When we look at Jonah as another example, God calls him to go to a people he does not want to become a part of the community of faith. And so what does he do? Go to Nineveh. Go to Nineveh, Jonah. Right, God, I'll be right on that. Tries to outrun God? Hide in a boat? No. Nobody would do that. But one way or another, and this time it's a big fish spitting him out on the beach, he ends up going and following. And there's a temper tantrum of epic proportions along the way. But as we look at the calls that God makes in lives, they are seldom accepted willingly, and they are seldom accepted with the understanding that we are the people God sees us as and not the people we see ourselves as. Even my own call in ministry is a story of trying to go the other way. I thought I could be smart and try and negotiate a terms of an agreement with God. So God, you want me to serve you, right? Well, I'll be a teacher instead of a minister. That'll work, right? Nope. Didn't work so well. The fact is, God is thankfully patient with us when our calls come. And we're hesitant as we try and try to tell God that we know better. But as we look at Elisha and Elijah meeting in this moment, we see a man we don't know much about. We see Elisha who's plowing with oxen. Not just one ox though, right? 12 yoke of oxen. Now, if you do the math, that's 24 oxen to plow with. So what do we know about Elisha? Well, we know that he can plow a field with 24 oxen. He's not exactly doing poorly, so to speak. If you ever played the old game Oregon Trail on the computer, some of us remember that game. Some of you who are older may have seen your kids play. It was the old, like, bit games, and you had to set out from St. Louis, Missouri, to get and follow the Oregon Trail. You had to cross rivers, and the big key was to do it with as few oxen as possible so you had as much money along the way as possible. So you tried to do as little as possible. Now, as settlers went across the great expanse of the U.S., normally it would take 3 yoke of oxen to traverse our country. And here we have Elisha plowing with 12. I'd say we could assume he's doing well for himself. But then his call comes. His call from God. And he's called to leave this life of abundance that he has and follow where God leads. But he's not just called to follow where God leads, he's called to be a prophet. And he's probably seen the weight that a prophet carries. He's seen both the dual weight of being God's voice in the world, the weight of being called by God to stand before kings and tell them of their waywardness and call them to account. He's seen Nathan, Samuel, and now his mentor, Elijah, stand and call kings and queens to account. But he's also seen the wearing down that that does on them. He's seen Jezebel call for Elijah's death. He's seen the weight that Samuel bore as the people continued to fall away under David. The problems that persisted, the weight he took on as Saul went away from God. I mean, would any of us be too excited if we took up a new job and literally first day of work, they tell you, just a little note, the person who had your job left your job because the queen and king were trying to kill him. Have a nice day. Your papers are... Wouldn't you be a little fearful for your well-being and your life in that moment? And that's where we kind of hit a point of disjointedness. Because when we look at the weight that Elisha is now going to take on, and his request, let me go say goodbye, we get pulled on our heartstrings at the sentimentality of this request. If he had asked to go pack a bag, it would be a lot easier for us because we wouldn't see his ask as hard and difficult. We might even look at Moses' request that, hey, God, I'm not a very good speaker, as a normal, natural request. Weren't they all reasonable in asking these things? But we need to look at this in terms of its full context. We can see a similar moment play out in our gospel reading in Luke. The Samaritans won't follow Jesus because he set his face to Jerusalem, and all of the worldly issues between Samaritans and the people of Israel crop up. And then we see the first person who wants to bury his dad. It's a valid excuse in most of our minds and hearts, but it is still a reason to not follow. And again, they all have valid reasons why they can't follow. And that's the problem, because we try and validate these reasons. We try and give them good or bad. And the problem is, it's always a reason to not go and do. We see Jesus kind of kick, like Pelé, all of the excuses to the side. We see Elijah get upset and offended by Elisha's excuse. Sure, we can weave a story about Elisha and about how he has 15 brothers and sisters who can look after mom and dad, or if we want to be on the sentimental side, he has no siblings that can look after mom and dad. But the fact is, if he does not go forward, he will always find a reason to look back. It's this push and pull that exists. The joy of serving God and the comfort of what is our world. What happens is this interaction back and forth, and every time it will always be the same response. Jesus, just give me a little time and I'll be right on the path to follow you. Just let me do this. How many times have we ever had a task, and no matter how important that task was, there were always other things that seemed to pop up that became, in that moment, more important than it. And we see the extreme response that Elisha takes. He slaughters the oxen. He burns the equipment. He gives his neighbors the oxen meat to eat. And he sets out to serve. He burns his past. He removes what was. All attachments that could have drawn him back. All excuses are burnt on the pyre there. And so he cannot do anything but follow. The fact is, we aren't prophets. We aren't explicitly called by Jesus as he walks down the road to Jerusalem. But we are always called by Christ to live and serve and be in this world. And the question that exists for us is, what will we do to the anchors that hold us back? Elisha gives us this great extreme response. Christ kicks all of the excuses to the curb, but the question we must answer is, what is our anchor that's holding us back? What holds us back from fully living into God's call in our lives? Is it something large that always sits and constantly is drawn back to? That we always say, well, I have to do this first, and then I will. I have to take care of this, and then I can. Unfortunately, brothers and sisters, this is the reality in which we deal with calls from God. There will be always that anchor pulling us back and giving us a reason in our own minds to try and, oh yeah, you know, I really should take care of this. Oh. And we'll wander around like a teenager with a final coming. Do I need to study? Do I want to study? Well, you know, oh, it's a nice sunny day. I'll go out and hang out with friends. You know, there will always be those anchors and excuses in our lives, and it is our need to do away with them, to have God help us to navigate forward and not backward, to do away with the excuses that we constantly pull ourselves back with. The fact of the matter is, excuses will always come and be there. But when we accept them and allow them to drag us back, we are less than we should be. We are less than we should, as the people of God, be. As we move forward, we cannot have ourselves drawn back. So let us move forward. Let God lead us forward to build this kingdom of His on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.